There we go. There's a tape rolling now. Magdalena and Sven, tell me why it is that you're here in Rockhampton in central Queensland. You've come a long way.
Yes, we've come a long way from California, actually. We're originally from Austria, but we've lived in California for the last 7 years and have decided to travel through Australia for a good 6 months because we came here in 1995 on a very short trip and got to spend a day trip on Fraser Island and totally fell in love with it and said we have to come back with our own four-wheel drive on our own time where we can explore in depth. And so we finally realized this dream and we've been traveling through Australia for a good 5 months now and have another month or so to go.
Now, four-wheel driving, it's not something I know an awful lot about, but it's something that's very familiar to a lot of Australians. How familiar were you guys with traveling by four-wheel drive?
We actually started four-wheel driving once we got to California. There is a big rock crawling community there, not only in the championship circus, but just general public. And we were starting to build up a vehicle. We just bought a Jeep, started to build it up. We were traveling extensively through the States as well. And we freelance write for magazines. We could get the exposure to pull sponsors on board. They helped us build up the vehicle to the degree it is in now. And it's a very reliable vehicle. We know it very well. And we've done a lot of off-roading throughout the US, actually. Mm-hmm. And that's why we decided to actually ship over our own vehicle, because we were so familiar with it and we know the capabilities of it. Mm-hmm. And thought the remote areas we will go to, or we've been to by now, in Australia, it's a good idea to have a vehicle you really know instead of just buying one and then going from there.
As you say, there are areas of Australia that are extremely remote. You've obviously passed through things in a very hot time of the year as well. What have been some of the challenges that you've come across?
Four-wheeling wise, there were not too many challenges because Australians tend to build up their vehicles a little more for touring, which makes a lot of sense, and long range, which our vehicle is more built up for very hardcore four-wheeling and not that good of a range. So one of the challenges was fuel range, mm-hmm. Because we can only get with the regular tank only about 300 to 400 kilometers.
Oh, wow.
Which is not much once you get closer to the outback. It was basically the main challenge we faced. And other than that, we had quite some desert experience from the United States. And we've grown up in Austria in the mountains, so we had a little bit of idea how nature works and can trick you. So there we didn't face too much, but we had a lot of fun doing it. And fortunately, so far, I mean, now being on the East Coast, having the big mass lands behind us, fortunately haven't had any major problems.
So what was the most remote place that you've been to so far in Australia?
Probably the Tanami Desert Track, yep. And also the Kimberleys. Although in the Kimberleys we found more service stations or smaller communities where, if need be, you could find help. Where on the Tanami we were really quite remote. There are only a few roadhouses, but we did meet a few other travelers. But it was still very amazing to us coming from Europe that is so crowded for Australian standards. How you can drive for hours on end, or even a day or two, and not see another vehicle, even less another building. Mm-hmm. And we had done a lot of research before, so we were aware of that, and we brought supplies, but it was still mind-boggling for us to see how far you can go without seeing anybody else.
Mm-hmm. You would have had to have carried a hell of a lot of petrol with you on the trip. How did the Jeep stand up to all of that extra weight?
That's another story. Because we are also living in the Jeep for 6 months, we carry a tent, but we sleep in the back.
Yep.
I've converted the back with storage compartments and mattress. You carry quite a lot of gear, generally for 6 months. And all the additional weight of the roof rack, because it carries a second spare tire, it carries 60 liters of fuel if we need it. Mm-hmm. So that's not always full. The roof rack is very, very heavy. And through the hardcore four-wheeling we've done in the States, we rolled the vehicle twice on each side once. So the whole structural integrity of the body has been weakened. And the roof rack, I have no idea how heavy it is, but it's way too heavy for what the vehicle is supposed to carry. So all this considered, it has been holding up, but the roof rack was breaking through the gutter mounts or through the gutter a couple of times, so we had to re-weld the body together. But everything considered, it has been holding up very well. It's an old truck, it's 11 years old, it has over 350,000 kilometers on the original engine, and we've had no mechanical problems whatsoever. So mostly body problems because of what you mentioned, the extra weight.
And you haven't rolled it here, have you?
No, we haven't rolled it here.
Fortunately.
And mostly the corrugations is what drags you or what makes the vehicle suffer the most.
Yes, yes. Well, obviously, there's going to be areas too where the extra weight's going to help or hinder you because you'll get bogged more easily as well, I would imagine.
Yeah, we have pretty fairly big tires on our truck, very aggressive with an aggressive tread, so that helps us to really get through a lot of areas. It happened to us a couple of times that we did get bogged, but we carry a winch and it's just a minor holdup, fortunately. Yeah. But the extra weight is definitely a concern, but we have to take the compromise of if you travel that long, you need certain equipment. And of course, you carry a lot of equipment just for safety reasons, which you never use. We have certain spare parts we've never used, and they're heavy. A lot of tools, which a lot of them we have used, but that's heavy. Besides all the other gear you just need for daily living.
So what a remarkable adventure you two have been on. So along the way, you're obviously trying to take lots of photos, write articles for your freelance career, is that right?
That's correct. And we also have a lot of these on our website. If you want to go to our website, it's www.xxexpedition.com. Mm-hmm. Little plug for our website. Then you can see a lot of the pictures and write-ups. We try to update the website about once a week, so people can read along. And this was really started mostly for our friends at home so they could see where we were going, because it was not easy for us to stay in touch with everybody individually. And it's grown to, we have a huge following now of people that come to our website who we have never met. But it's a great thing too, because a lot of people contact us through the website saying, oh, if you're passing through my area, here's my phone number, give me a call, let's go to get together. And then we end up going four-wheeling with them, and we've met the most amazing people that way. And we have a huge stock of photos and articles or ideas for articles that we're starting to put together now, and then we're presenting them to the various magazines. There's a one magazine in the US, Off-Road Adventures, which has a publication of over 650,000 issues a month and is very well known there. And they have secured exclusive rights for the articles on this trip in the US, but we'll also try to sell some to Australian and European magazines.
Oh, well, I hope that it doesn't mean we're going to see 650,000 Americans heading over here to do off-road driving.
I would not hope so.
Well, that wouldn't happen, since the average, I don't know if it's the average, but most people only have a week or two of vacation a year. That cuts down on a lot of Americans visiting the way we do.
Very true indeed. So there's only a month left. What are you trying to pack in the month that you have left before you have to go back home?
Definitely Fraser Island, obviously. We're planning to spend at least a week there, if not more. We don't really know yet. We have to see how things work out with the ferries and permits and whatever else we need to be allowed to go there. And then we just slowly want to cruise down along the coast, spend a little bit more time in Sydney, which is our departure port. And we've made so many friends there too when we got here, so we want to spend some time with them. Possibly go back into the Outback one more time. It all depends on how it works out time-wise, but we don't really have a schedule per se. We just travel on a daily basis. We wake up in the morning and say, oh, it's a gorgeous day, let's go hiking, and then we do. And so we really don't know where we'll be in a week from now, for example.
Sounds like you've got the perfect life at the moment.
We do. We are very lucky.
Unfortunately, it never really lasts as long as you hope to.
Well, yeah. 6 months is certainly a nice period of time in one's life to do something
absolutely.
Like this.
Absolutely.
Well, good luck to you for the rest of the month that you have off. And look, we'll look forward to having a look on your website. What is it again?
It's www.xxxpedition.com.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Thanks to Magdalena and Sven. Nice to meet you.
Same here. Thank you.